Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, verses 15 through 17. If you're using the Church Bible, you'll want to turn to page 829 in the Church Bible. This passage is located in the second half of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And the central idea in the second half of Ephesians is that God calls us to live in accordance with our identity in Christ. And so as people whose identity is in Christ, how do we steward the hours and the days and the weeks and months and years and decades that God entrusts to us? How do we steward the blessing of time? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version this morning. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Stewarding our time. Now, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we offer our whole lives to the Lord. Quite often, all at once. You ever done that? You say to the Lord, here's my life, Lord. I give you my whole life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. You may not see thee, but you know what we mean. You give your whole life to the Lord. I give you my life, Lord. Our whole life can be represented by a $100 bill. More valuable than that, but it's just an analogy. And if the $100 bill represents our whole life, then at some point, as God draws us to Himself, we offer up the whole $100, our whole life, to Him. And yet, we still have some years ahead of us, don't we? And so God then places our life back into our hands, so then we become the stewards of the life that we've offered up to Him. But even though we may offer up our whole lives, the whole $100 bill, all to God all at once, God does not return our whole life to us all at once. He returns our life to us as stewards of successive moments of time. He entrusts our $100 life that we've offered up to Him back to us in quarters. An hour at a time. Quarter. A day at a time, quarter, a week, a month, a year at a time, quarter, 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 quarter. We offer up the whole hundred to Him. He sends it back to us in quarters. Moments of time. And so the question is, how will we invest each quarter? How will we invest each moment of time, each hour, day, week, month, year that He entrusts to us? We've already given our God our whole life, the whole $100, all at once. He returns it quarter after quarter after quarter. Days and weeks and months, years for us to invest for Him. And so the question is, will we offer each quarter back up to Him? Will we offer up this hour to Him? Will we offer up this day to Him, quarter by quarter? Each week, each month, quarter by quarter, moment by moment. Will we return to Him what He has returned to us in quarters? Will we invest each moment of our life to glorify God by making a difference in the lives of others. And the big question is, well, how do we do that? How can we do that? How can we invest time, those quarters, those hours, those days, those weeks, those months, to make a difference so that our life counts for something, so that God's purposes are fulfilled through us? How do we invest our time to make a difference? We find the answer in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. As we come to verse 15, we see that we need to walk all the time in God's wisdom. Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully then how you walk. Life is a walk. A walk has direction. Our lives have a direction. Life is not aimless. Life isn't just sitting around. There may be resting, but it's not just sitting around. Life is not a series of frenetic activities followed by downtime because you're so exhausted. The Christian life is a walk. The Christian life has a direction. It's a journey. It's a pilgrimage. It's moment-by-moment progress toward our eternal destination. And we need to take the time to look where we're walking. And we must look carefully, carefully how we walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. I grew up in the Blue Ridge Valley of Roanoke, Virginia, surrounded by the Appalachian Mountains. It was a great place to be a Boy Scout. And when I was a 12-year-old tenderfoot Boy Scout, our troop was taking a hike in the Appalachian Mountains along a path, might have been the Appalachian Trail. I was about 12 years old. We turned a bend in the trail, and there was a rattlesnake curled up. Rattle, rattling. Front row, be careful. It's like the beluga whale. And it was right in the middle of the path, ready to strike. We found some rocks. We pummeled that old rattler. Those of us who played baseball found its head with their rocks. And finally, the snake collapsed on the ground, motionless. We had hit its head with those rocks hard and often enough. We congratulated ourselves. We got ourselves a dead rattlesnake. We picked it up. We carried it along. We whirled it about. We threw it to each other. When I caught the snake, I took that rattle on the tail and I rattled it right in front of Jimmy Bryce's face. We got ourselves a dead rattlesnake. This is fun. Well, after about 3 or 4 miles of that, we came to a clear, crystal, bubbling brook. Time to refill our canteens. So we set the snake down on a rock in the stream while we were refilling our canteens. And it moved. We had thought it was dead, but it was not dead. It moved. We had been hiking for 3, 4, maybe 5 miles, throwing around back and forth a live rattlesnake. Jimmy cut off its head with his trusty Boy Scout knife, and that was that. But the point is, we were not looking carefully how we walked. We were unwise. Not wise, unwise. We were carelessly, unwisely playing with a live, venomous snake. We were having fun. Oh, we were having a lot of fun. We were having more fun than we'd ever had before as a Boy Scout troop. Lots of fun, and yet totally unaware of the danger in which we were putting ourselves. Doesn't that sound like what people do today? Having fun, but yet unaware of the dangers in which they're putting themselves? As you walk down the trail of life, look carefully how you walk. Don't mess with the snake. Don't play with the venomous snake. Don't play with the temptations of that ancient serpent, the devil. Do not spend the moments that God entrusts to you, those quarters that He sends back to you, don't spend those moments carelessly, unwisely. Don't put the quarters that God returns back to you into the snake's mouth to purchase the pleasures that he offers. If you do, yeah, you'll be having fun, maybe tons of fun, unaware of the danger in which you're putting yourself. Eventually, you'll get bit, and the serpent's venom will poison your life. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Don't mess with a snake. Well, what does it mean to walk as wise people? Who is the wise person? Ephesians 5:10 tells us to discern what the will of God is. Discern what pleases the Lord. And that's the wise person. The wise person is the person in Ephesians 5:10 who is skilled in discerning what pleases the Lord through the study of the Scripture. Wise people are careful to watch their walk by asking scriptural questions of themselves. We find a few hinted in Ephesians. For example, we can ask ourselves, does my speech grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes or no? Unwise or wise? Or framed a positive question, am I imitating God by walking in love? And also from Ephesians, do my behaviors and words befit my identity in Christ? As we ask these scriptural questions of ourselves, we can be careful to watch our walk. And so wise people are careful to watch their walk by asking these kinds of penetrating diagnostic questions from Scripture of themselves. It's time to invest our time wisely. Let's invest our time to make a difference by investing each moment, each quarter, wisely. Growing in wisdom by applying God's Word to our choices moment by moment, that we may know Christ more clearly and love Christ more dearly and follow Christ more nearly. Day by day, quarter by quarter. For in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How can we invest time to make a difference? As we walk all the time in God's wisdom, we need to redeem the time for God's will. 15a and 16 of chapter 5. Look carefully then how you walk, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Here we learn how to make a difference in the investment of our time in these evil days. Why are the days evil? Because, as 1 John puts it, the whole world, all the thoughts and behaviors and values that are contrary to God in the world, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. In other words, the snake's got himself wrapped around the globe. And that's why the days are evil. And in these evil days, days are poisoned by deceits of the evil one. Terrorists murder innocent people and think they're doing God a favor. In our own backyard, the Twin Cities are a center for human trafficking. Super Bowl's coming up. There'll be a lot of human trafficking at the Super Bowl. Days are evil. And because the days are evil, what are we to do? Make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. The Greek word translated making the best use of literally means redeeming. So we can translate, and some versions do, redeeming the time. What is redeeming? Redeeming originally referred to buying back the freedom of a slave. Redeeming is to purchase something that is captive to set it free, or someone who is captive to set that person free. Obtain the freedom of a slave by buying the slave out of slavery. That's redeeming. And so because the days are evil, we are to buy the time out of its slavery to evil. You ever think of it? Buy the time, redeem the time out of its slavery to these evil days, so that the time becomes consecrated and free to the Lord. Well, how do we do that? Maybe this is a concept we've never thought of. How do we buy time out of slavery to evil? Verse 17 gives the answer. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, the scripture is saying here that because the days are evil, because the snake's got himself wrapped around the days, we need to understand the will of God through the knowledge of the scriptures and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Then we are equipped to do God's will. Then we are equipped to redeem the time, to buy it out of its slavery to evil. We do that by using the time as an opportunity to do God's will, which we learn in this book. To redeem the time is to take the time to understand and to do God's will in these evil days. And that's how we can invest the quarters that God sends back to us from the 100 we sent up to Him. It's how we can invest each moment of time to make a big difference. We redeem the time by snapping up every opportunity to do God's will. Because if we don't redeem the time, then we'll lose the time, and the evil will scoop up the time for itself all the time. So how can we do this then? How can we redeem the time out of its slavery to these evil days so that we invest the time to make a big difference in the lives of others? Annie is a follower of Christ. And Annie goes to the Stop and Shop near her Los Angeles apartment to buy some curry cups and a dozen eggs. She passes it all to the cashier, who scans and bags, And after returning to her apartment, Annie glances at the receipt and discovers that the Keurig cups are on the receipt, but the eggs are not on the receipt. Apparently, for some reason, the eggs had not scanned. But there they are, nonetheless, in the bag, unpaid for. What does Annie do? How does Annie redeem the time for God's will? Well, she takes the time to walk back to the store, and she takes the time to stand in line at the customer service counter, and she stands in line for a long 35 minutes. It's L.A., it's the big city. And when it's finally Annie's turn at the customer service counter, she explains the matter to the man behind the customer service desk. She shows him her bag with the eggs in it and her receipt with the eggs not on it. And he looks surprised. It's as if something like this had never happened before. He says nothing for a few seconds. Then finally he says, "Thank you, young woman, for your honesty." And Annie replies, "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." And then she pays for the eggs. And that's it. But in doing all this, she redeems the time for God's will. She buys the time back out of its slavery to evil. By taking the time to return to the store, by taking the time to stand in line, by taking the time to pay for the eggs, she buys the time out of its slavery to the evil of stealing. Otherwise, she would have been stealing. And by taking the time to tell the customer service rep that she's a follower of Jesus, she transforms ordinary time into an extraordinary opportunity to represent Christ well. And that's how we redeem the time. We use every moment of every time to represent Christ well in every situation. So she makes a difference in the life of Jesus, in the life of that customer service rep, a difference for Jesus. She walks out of that store confidently that she's pleased the Lord, that she's done His will, and that she's taken the time and invested the time to represent Christ well. And so, she's redeemed the time by combining honest deed with gospel word to make a difference for Christ in the life of that man behind the counter. Combining honest deed with gospel word. Let's go and do likewise. Let's redeem the time by seizing opportunities for God's will in every situation. Let's redeem the time by snapping up opportunities to represent Christ well in every circumstance. And then we'll buy the time out of its slavery to these evil days. We will pull the snake from its wrapping around our days. And we'll steward the time to make a difference for Christ in the lives of others. And so as we offer up our entire life to God, He entrusts our life back to us, quarter by quarter, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month. And then we can steward those quarters to make a difference, one by one. We can invest the time to make a difference by walking each hour in God's wisdom, by redeeming each day for God's will. Well, how do we obtain the motivation and the power to do it? Saying, "Oh, let's do it," that's one thing. Getting motivated to do it and then having the ability to do it and the power to do it, well, that's something else. Well, if you have your Bible open, you'll notice that after Ephesians 5:17 comes 5:18. And 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, but leash to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." That's how we obtain the motivation and the power to redeem the time, to invest our quarters wisely. The filling of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the understanding of Scripture that we need and the discernment that we need to walk in the wisdom that we need and to redeem the time that we're given to make a difference. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Breathe on me, breath of God. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Let Him fill you. He wants to fill you. Let Him fill you so that He can convey the power and the presence of Christ within us and through us. And when we yield to the Holy Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit, when we're empowered with the Spirit and directed by the Spirit and influenced by the Spirit and governed by the Spirit, then we'll redeem the time. Then we'll be careful to walk in God's will. How much of the Holy Spirit do you want? You ever ask yourself that? How much of the Holy Spirit do I want? How much of the Spirit we have depends on how much of us the Spirit has. How much of you does the Spirit of God have? Holding anything back? Pocketing some quarters for yourself? Or is every day, every week, all His? As the Holy Spirit fills us, the Word of Christ will indeed dwell in us richly. As the Holy Spirit directs our lives through the Word of Christ, we'll have the wisdom to steward the moments of our lives, to make a difference for Christ in the lives of others. Amen.